Well, I had the awesome pleasure of having my dad here this weekend, which was amazing. I loved it. But my dad is the exact opposite of me. So he's very quiet. He doesn't talk very much, and he just wants to just accomplish physical tasks, you know, construct everything in my house. And I bought a saw just to hang out with him. So we sawed a lot of stuff, and we did all these things, but it just so happens that I got way more sick from being around him. So he's a maniac, and I didn't get to rest. Jen kept telling me, you know, you can take a break. I'm like, no way. I'm like, if I'm going to hang out with Dad, I have to just work, work, work. So he left this morning. Now I'm on holidays. But anyway, just pardon my voice here as I go. I just sound more like Vin Diesel now, right? So that's a good thing. So the good news is we just got out of the book of Luke, okay? Not because we don't like Luke, because Luke was awesome, but we had been in there forever, it felt like. Am I right? Somebody say an amen or something for that. Okay. So what we do at Church of Christ, though, is we preach through books of the Bible. So we're starting our next series here, you know, none of this pansy topical stuff. So we're in here at our next thing. And our next series is on the book of Daniel. Now we're going a little bit out of our comfort zone here because we're not going to preach the entire book of Daniel. Sighs, I hear them. Okay. Instead, we're looking at Daniel chapters 1-6. And what I get the chance to do here today is I'm not going to preach Daniel chapters 1-6 or even Daniel chapter 1, but I get to do the introduction to the book of Daniel. This is what happens when you're one of the new preachers. They give you like these, you can do the introduction, okay? Totally joking. But I had to think of what can I say here that isn't going to steal Alan's thunder for next week? You know, what am I going to do here? Because all of you have seen these movie trailers where you watch the movie trailer and then you think, well, now I don't have to watch the movie, right? And it just irritates you. It's hurtful. So I didn't want to do that. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give some brief background to the book of Daniel and draw out one key theme that after I did it first service, Alan said, well, that was my key theme for next week. So there you go. I've already failed. But my theme is this. Okay, so the big theme I'm driving towards, this is your take home. God alone is my judge. Okay, this is what you're going to be saying for yourself. So the take home statement is God alone is my judge. Now, if you've read through the book of Daniel before, or you've really talked with people about the book of Daniel, you'll see that this book has an enormous view of history. And it spans all these different kingdoms and all these different generations, and it goes on and on and on. It's this enormous view of history. And because of this, the book actually makes different predictions about how history will unfold. These are what they call like the prophetic visions of Daniel. There's all these beastly kingdoms, and it's talking about times, and half a times, and all these kinds of things. And that's the part that people naturally gravitate towards. And it leads to what I would say is a bunch of really unnecessary, weird debates. And we're like, well, I know what the seven this and that means, and my times, and half times bigger than your times, and half times. And it just gets weird, okay? So it can feel so unrelated to what we're doing in our lives. We can talk about our future, but our day-to-day seems left out. So beyond that, though, beyond all the crazy stuff that people gravitate towards, Daniel begins with what is really a pretty straightforward story. And that's Daniel chapters 1-6. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Okay, it's a straightforward story, but it's a crazy story filled with a lot of excitement. So that's what we're going to be covering in this series. So you guys are already knowing what we're going to be doing for the next 6 weeks. Now, one of the things that I didn't realize as I started studying and reading on the book of Daniel is that this is a story with primarily four main characters. Okay, they're the good guys in the story. Now, play this game with me. What are the four main characters of Daniel? Okay, the good guys. If you get it wrong, no problem. What's that? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Who's the other one? Daniel. Okay, good call. Absolutely. Those are the four main characters in the story. Now, did you guys know? No, let me ask it this way. How old are they? Okay, teenagers, young. Man, you guys are way wiser than I am. I had no idea how old they were, okay? These guys are teenagers, super young teenagers. I'm going to go with 13 because that just made sense to me, okay? They're young teenagers. And these young guys, they're taken from their homeland by an invading army and led away as prisoners into a foreign land to be enslaved. But it wasn't just any land. It was the monstrous land of Babylon. If you're familiar with Babylon in the Bible, nothing good happens in Babylon, okay? You go to Revelation, talk about Babylon stuff. Babylon's a bad place. And it has that idea of the Tower of Babel connected to it as well. This is not the kind of place that you want to be going to. And upon their arrival in Babylon, these young men, they must have been surprised to find out that their lives had special importance to the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Mallory already talked about this, stole some of my thunder. There was three reasons why these guys were chosen by the king. And what they were chosen to do is to learn the language and culture of Babylon. Okay, that's what they were brought in for. And they were chosen because, again, they were handsome, they were wise, and they were of noble birth. Originally, I thought we could play one of those games where we stand on either side of the auditorium, and if you fit into these categories, you come into the center. And we could find out, you know, who's the most handsome and who's of the most noble birth and all this. But I didn't want to be picked last, so it would have gotten awkward. But isn't that a weird thing? These guys are like the cream of the crop. They must have had awesome lives already. You know, smart, good-looking guys in high positions. They already had the best of the best where they were from. Now they're brought to Babylon, and Babylon wants to give them the very best of what they have to offer. No expense would be spared for these guys' convenience because they wanted them to learn to love Babylon and be Babylon sympathizers. Get interested in their culture, in their ways. They wanted these young men to forget their past identity and instead learn a new identity in Babylon. And the reason why they wanted to do this is because they wanted to groom them up to essentially be diplomats, okay? People in these political positions to be diplomats between their homeland and Babylon, okay? So they're important people. Everyone would know them. Now they're going to be Babylon sympathizers between Babylon and their native land of Israel. Now, in order to keep driving home this identity change, these guys got different names. I never even realized this before. Their original names are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah. And instead, they got these Babylonian names. Daniel got Belteshazzar, which I feel like he drew the short straw on that one. Hananiah got Shadrach, Mishael got Meshach, and Azariah got Abednego. Now they'd be from the court of Babylon. These young men were then being shaped and molded to serve the interest of Babylon. And like I say, they're just teenagers. Can you imagine being in that scenario? Imagine the temptation these young men must have faced to serve the interests of Babylon. They're just teenagers. When I was a teenager, it wasn't hard to convince me to do anything. You know, it's like, that sounds awesome. Let's do that thing. And here, these guys, they're given everything their heart could ever desire. Heck, they're invited to eat at the table of the king. That sounds like a great invitation. All the best could be theirs. They just have to forget about their past and lay hold of this glorious new future that's being presented before them. And I think it wouldn't be that hard of a decision. This is a pretty easy decision here. Because if they don't take up this offer, as we'll find out in the next few weeks, they will be judged. Okay, this is the offer. Submit or be judged. And the judgment is a pretty easy one to decide on too, because the judgment is death. By lions, by fire, or by some other horrible means. So to me, this is a pretty easy choice. 13-year-old Ryan would be saying, I'll eat at the king's table, thank you very much. I wouldn't want to submit to terrifying judgment. But then this book of Daniel, we're going to find out, how did these teenagers find the faith and strength to defy an empire? Now, the title of the book of Daniel is going to give us an enormous insight into how they did this and what belief they had to carry. These guys had to have some kind of incredibly strong belief to carry them through this, right? And the title gives it away, because the title of the book of Daniel is Daniel, okay? But what Daniel means, I just got to do this Hebrew course recently. It's interesting because the name Daniel is made up of two Hebrew words. You put those words together and the name means God is my judge. Hey, God is my judge. I think that that's a great way to think of the title of the book of Daniel. Now, you could title it Daniel, or you can title it as God is my judge, and how that works out in the lives of people. So I think that these young guys, these teenage guys, believed with all their heart that God alone was their judge. And that's what gave them courage to take on whatever came their way. No matter what Babylon said about changing their identity or who they were, no matter what privileges were given to them if they submitted, no matter what punishment would come their way, these four teens believed that there was only one judge. There's only one who has the power to lay the verdict down over their lives, and that is the God of heaven and earth. You see, every one of us needs to know that when we let anything other than God dictate our identity, that person or that event or that thing becomes our judge, and we begin to experience an uncertain future. This was not the case for Daniel and his friends. They knew who they were because they knew who God was. God alone is our judge. Sure, the king of Babylon could make decrees, but only God can render the verdict. What I'm saying there is only God writes the end of the story, right? I want to give you an example of this. People say to me, I talk to somebody, man, you got to have a tough conversation here. You know what? I'm not going to have that tough conversation because this person's going to respond this way, and then it's going to go bad, and then, you know, what's the point in having the conversation? Okay, do you see there? What that person is, they're writing the story. And what these guys are saying is God's the judge. God brings the verdict. God writes the end of a story. So why are you writing the end of the story yourself? Right? Let God play out that story. He is the judge. He's the author of our stories. But what do you believe? You see, we have the chance today. We live as Christians. Daniel and his friends didn't know the things that we know in our lives. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know that Jesus would reveal the heart of his Father, and that we would gain an understanding of more love and more joy and more unrelenting forgiveness than we possibly imagined. These guys didn't even have the whole Old Testament. I have no idea how much of the Old Testament these guys had. Maybe like the parts that we take and think, God seems like a terrible God when you look at those things, right? And they're saying, I'm going to give this God my entire life. Today, we have the pleasure of knowing that the one who will judge us, the only judge we will ever have, is the one who would rather take any judgment against us on himself and pay for it. Today we know that our judge is the one who has loved us from all eternity. It's written all over the New Testament. Today we know that our judge is the one who took on flesh for us, the one who lived for us, the one who died for us, the one who fought through hell for us and out the other side for us, and has been raised to life to stand at our defense. That's a judge. Today we know that the only one who can ever place a verdict over our lives is the very same one whose love for us is stronger than death itself. The God who is love is our only judge. And what Daniel and his friends discovered is that as they believed that and as they lived into that confidence, they began to live their lives in what I can only term as utterly reckless faith. Because these guys were crazy maniacs. Okay? I read these stories and I just thought, these guys are crazy maniacs. These stories are totally wild. These guys are just teenagers. They never even got to know God as we know him. And still, they believed in God in such a way as they would not give way to fear. Reckless faith. Now, I'll admit, when I read these stories and I realized these guys were teenagers, I thought, is this reckless faith or the absence of a well-developed frontal lobe? Okay, because you know they're saying now, like, we don't even develop a frontal lobe, which is your part for reason, till you're like 25. Like, that's what's wrong with these guys. They don't have a frontal lobe. Because, okay, I have never really exaggerated in my life, but sometimes people have tried to say this about me. And this is what I want. This is no exaggeration, okay? You can read the stories. These guys were so crazy that Daniel and his friends were more certain that God wrote the end of their story, that God is their judge, than that flames had power to burn you. That's what they believed. You can read the story. That's seriously what they believed. They literally thought that God's power to render the final verdict on their lives was more certain than the power of fire to burn flesh. That is crazy faith. Or, no, messed up frontal lobes. You have to decide. Okay? Now, that's not the only thing that happened. Daniel and his friends were more certain of God as their only judge, the one who writes the end of their story, than that lions had teeth. Maybe they had never seen a lion before. Okay? This is no exaggeration. They literally believed that God's power to render the final verdict on their lives was more certain than the power of lions' jaws to break bones. I'm telling you, they have to believe that. They have to. Otherwise, how would they be? They're going into the fire. Everyone else knows the end of the story. Babylonians are reasonable people. They say these people are going to burn. Like, we'll see. That's what they say. Isn't that, okay? I feel like the Babylonians just make so much more sense. You know, they get thrown into the lion's den. You're going to be eaten alive. We'll see what happens. Okay? I was just talking with Tim Bailey at First Service. One of the things he was saying to me is he said, you know, as we get old, he's like, I used to be like that. Like, I remember being like that and being a crazed lunatic. He's like, then we get older and things happen, and then you become reasonable. And what has become reasonable is you become safe. When you become safe, you don't really risk anything. Right? You're just trying to keep what you have. These guys risk it all. And you know what? As I thought about myself, like, would I do this? I thought, heck no, I wouldn't do that. I cannot imagine believing that. I can't imagine believing so strongly that God writes the end of my story that I don't have it pre-written in my own mind logically as to what's going to happen. Let me just give you this small piece here, okay? It begins to break us out of this. My favorite author is G.K. Chesterton. Okay, and what he says is, Christian people, we don't understand. We get into this weird version of the world, like as if exactly what science says is the way it happens. And he said, one of the things that we begin to believe in is natural law. You guys know what natural law is, right? Like gravity. So he says that the thing is, natural law doesn't exist. It's never existed. People think it exists because they don't understand the nature of the world. He's like, this is what happened. God creates the sun. And then the sun rises, right? He says, sun, rise. The sun rises. And then God looks at the sun, and he's so excited, he claps his hands and says, do it again. Okay? He says, that's why the sun rises. And it takes someone who believes like that to do the things that these young men do. A wild world where we don't know the end of the story. These are wild young men. You know, as I read this thing and I thought, I don't think I can do that. Then I kind of just thought, playing out this situation in my life where, then what am I going to say to God one day? I go and meet God face to face, and God's like, well, how was your faith journey? Like, well, it was pretty good, but four teenage boys lived their faith 10 times more recklessly than me. Because that's what's going to happen if I keep trying to play it safe. Four teenage boys with reckless faith. Man, we might be getting too old. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to get to know the story of these crazy teenage boys who are recklessly faithful to God, who believed beyond reason that God held their future because he alone was their judge. Now we're calling it bringing life to the lion's den. Because in the midst of these terrible circumstances, you know, I was thinking about that, thinking Daniel didn't just go to the lion's den one time. It was all the lion's den. As soon as he gets there, they say, eat at the king's table. He says, no, thank you. As Alan's talking, what do they do with people who say, no, thank you? You know, some bad things happen. It's a lion's den the whole time, and life can feel like that. But in the midst of that, these crazy guys who thought that God alone was their judge, they lived in such a way is to bless this beastly empire that is Babylon. Not only did they defy it and say no and risk their lives unto death, they were this blessing and they just kept rising into higher positions. Man, that's how we should get promoted. Just for being crazy, insane people who are willing to risk our lives for God. I just want to say a quick prayer. God, I have to admit, these teenagers are a little beyond my level of faith. I remember the last time we went on the bike trip and I rode my bike down the hill and I thought that was the scariest thing I've done in years. But God, I want to pray for us here that we would be people of faith. Not the safe, comfortable faith that just thinks a bunch of great thoughts, but faith like these maniacs who face flames, who face lions, who face an empire because they love you more than their own privilege, their own prestige, or anything in the whole world that could be given to them. God, I don't know if maybe you need to smack us in the frontal lobe or what, but God, make us crazy faithful. Make us people who are unreasonably motivated. Make us people shaped by your story in your name.